everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The lines are wide open right now, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. Have a question, something concerning a Bible passage, something you'd like to talk about? Great opportunity right now because the lines are wide open, and we await your calls. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We had an historic day yesterday, a stunning triumph for Donald Trump. It has a lot of people in our country rejoicing and joyful and happy. It has a lot of other people in our country sad and sobbing and
ready to leave the country,
sorrowful and those sort of things. But it's the news of the day, isn't it?
It's indeed
going to be the news that we talk about, that the media talks about for a long time. But let's, Andrew and Richard and Bob, let's talk just a little bit about what this election means to us as believers in Christ. Does it change what we're to be about as individuals? Does it change what we're to be about as believers in Christ, the church, the body of Christ? How does this affect us, and does it affect us? What can we take from yesterday's events?
Well, you know, politics aside, guys, one of the reflections that I have about it is look how wrong human predictions were in this case, and look how wrong the polling was, and look how wrong public opinion was about what was going to happen. And as I woke up this morning and started reflecting on that, you know, we can't afford to get things wrong like that in the spiritual realm. We can't afford to poll and take public opinion about Jesus and the gospel and the word of God and its authority and its ability to give us new life. These are things that, you know, much like people are surprised today, I think there's going to be a big surprise at the end of the age that people couldn't have possibly predicted. And we've got the inside track on this, and it's incredible news if you know about it. But there's a lot of people that, similar to today, are going to be surprised, and all the more reason to get the word out about this basic gospel.
Absolutely. I think that is so spot on. So we're just to continue to go about our business of proclaiming Christ. You know, a lot of why they got it wrong is they got it wrong about the felt needs of people, what was really going on inside of people. And when you get that wrong, your prescription for solving their problem is going to be wrong. You're going to be going down a wrong path. And, you know, we live in a marketing age. You know, many churches are built today because they go out and survey the needs of the people within the community, and then they go back and build a church that's going to meet those needs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those churches, as good of a job as they're doing to meet some of those felt needs within the community, they are compromising the Word of God. They are compromising what people really need, and what people really need is forgiveness, life, and freedom that can only be found in the gospel. We're the only people in the world, and it's not because we're brilliant or smart. It's because the Word of God tells us that what people need is Jesus. That is what people are looking for. That's what truly resonates at the depths of every person's soul, and that's why it's our job and our privilege and our opportunity to take this great commission to heart and to reach out to people and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Richard, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, they're in line with what you and Andrew have said. That I don't care who won yesterday. Today, we're here in this studio to talk about Jesus. And it doesn't matter who wins 4 years from now or 4 years after that or whenever. We exist, all Christians exist, to talk about Jesus and bring people to him. And sometimes the political and social and economic environment, it makes that easier. Sometimes it makes it harder. But we're not dependent on those external things. We're dependent on the internal motivation and the power, the empowerment of the indwelling spirit. We have the mind of Christ. There is nothing to fear.
Yeah, we operate in the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And there's no force on this planet that can stand up to that. So I think we embrace that and move out with courage.
Yeah.
Find out what's really going on in people. And show them how Jesus really is relevant to their situation. You look at this gospel, it's the only message that changes hearts, transforms cultures, and brings real peace and unity in this world in which we're living. Andrew?
Yeah, you know, I'm just imagining, what if the opposite had happened? I mean, what if we woke up this morning and the opposite candidate had won? You know, we might feel the temptation, because there's a largely conservative audience out there, to bring comfort to people and tell them, you know, things are going to be okay, and, you know, God is the answer. And all of that is very true, that our hope is not in Washington in that scenario. But equally, our hope is not in Washington today with this scenario. I think we need to be reminded that as much as we might agree with what happened in Washington, Washington is still not our hope. I mean, the gospel is thousands of years old, and the United States is only hundreds of years old. And so when we drop back and get a sight of the big picture here, you know, it's nice to have politics that we agree with and have leaders that we might have confidence in. But ultimately, where is our confidence? And that's what we're saying. All of us have said this in different roundabout ways, that, you know, I can't allow my peace and my contentment and my joy to be predicated upon what happens in a single city in the world. I can't let American politics, whether I agree with a leader or disagree, I can't let that be my peace. I can't let that be my contentment, because I've got a deeper place to find that joy, and that is with Christ living in me, and that's 24/7, without interruption, no matter who is president.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Without question. Thank you for those thoughts, guys. You know, I think one of the things that I think probably all of us agree on, that we hope will come out of the change of administration, is the better treatment and taking care of our veterans. You know, the statistic is, and it's a sad thing, Andrew, you have not been a part of these conversations over the past few days, but the statistic says 22 U.S. veterans take their own lives every day, almost one per hour. These men and women, you know, they're so much more than statistics. They're people who have served our country many times in harm's way, and they're fellow Americans with hopes and dreams like everyone else. But following military service, all too often, they return home largely forgotten. So at Basic Gospel, we want to help. We want to reach out and encourage our veterans. And friends, we hope you feel that way too, and hope that you will join with us. So in that vein, we have put together what we call a package of hope to encourage our veterans to embrace the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What this packet includes is Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It includes the Drive the Stakes CD and the CD series called The Breakout, which gives a biblical approach to anxiety and depression. And for just $22, friends, you can give that gift of hope to a veteran. All you need to do is visit basicgospel.net/vet to provide packets for the veterans you know. And listen to this. If you are a vet, use that same link and click I'm a Veteran to request your free packet. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/vet. Also, there's a comment box at the bottom of the page where you can add the name and address of a veteran you know, and we'd be glad to send a package directly to them. So again, that website is basicgospel.net/vet.
Yes, and thank you so much for those who have already responded, who have made contributions. Packages of hope are being sent out today to people that represent every single branch of the military. So we thank you. There's certainly so many more people that we can reach. So help us. Just, you know, again, for a gift of $22, we put it at $22 as a stark reminder of what's happening in the veterans community. 22 committing suicide every single day. So help us answer some of those spiritual questions they have by delivering hope, the hope of the gospel, through this package of hope. And gets back to our subject for the month. We're talking about worship, and Jesus had this conversation with a woman in Samaria at a well, and it got down to this subject of worship. And so the Samaritan woman had an understanding of worship. They worshiped at a particular place. And then, you know, she said the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus kind of cut through all of that and said, it's not really about a place. It's not the place you go on Sunday or wherever it might be during any day of the week. It's about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's talk a little bit about what that means and why this gospel message is the thing that really helps folks worship God in the proper way that Jesus laid out for this Samaritan woman.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, first of all, I think it's really important that we recognize we have a spirit. I don't mean just the Holy Spirit, as good as it is to have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have a human spirit. The Bible calls us a new creation, a new man, a new self. We have a new spirit, and we have God's spirit. So there's many, you know, sort of terminologies out there to talk about this. But my point is as a Christian, we need to know that there is a place within us called our human spirit where God resides. And if we're a believer, yeah, God resides within us. So, you know, that opens up worship in a really big way. If I understand Jesus' statement here in John chapter 4, it means I'm not limited to a church building. It's not about an hour a week sitting on a pew. It is about wherever I go, there he is living in me, and I can offer myself to him as someone who is alive from the dead spiritually. I can offer my body to him as an instrument for his use. And as I do that, that's what worship is. I mean, I used to think growing up, I'm sure a lot of us did, that worship is the song you sing, the four songs, five songs, and then you hear the sermon and go home. And so you had 22 minutes of worship or whatever. And so, you know, I think we got to get beyond that. We need a bigger view of what worship really is. And I think it starts with understanding that Christ lives in us in a place called our spirit, and we can worship him in spirit. We can spiritually worship him on a moment-by-moment basis as we depend on him, as we believe the truth about him, and as we walk with him through life.
I think that's a great point, Andrew. And let's talk a little bit about that spirit, the spiritual part of man, before it comes to life in Christ. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sins, so we have this disconnect with God. Mm-hmm. That, you know, before we come to know Christ, God's Spirit isn't there. So we can't truly and genuinely and authentically worship the one true God, so we're left to worship other things. And that's where mankind gets into trouble. Those things start having power over people, and it becomes an experience of being a slave to something, being in bondage. So worshiping the one true God is really what sets us free from that bondage to sin and death and to the idols of this world, the powers of this world, so that we can be free as human beings and actually flourish and actually become the human beings that God has created us to be all along. So this worship thing is a huge deal, isn't it? It's just not a nice little word in the Bible. I think it really is the central issue of mankind. It's where the battle really lies.
Yeah.
Whom do you worship?
Yeah, and you know, guys, I think a lot of Christians, we accidentally, maybe we don't mean to, but we see ourselves as an obstacle rather than an instrument. And part of our identity in Christ is that we're not an obstacle. We used to be an obstacle in that we were dead spiritually. But as you've just outlined, I mean, we're alive spiritually now, and because of that, we're not an obstacle. We are an instrument, and if I realize that, that's when I see the potential for living every day, waking up and enjoying every moment in dependency on Christ, and that he's thrilled to have me. He's head over heels about me. He loves me. He embraces my new identity. He's made me just the way he wants me to be. And so for me to offer myself to him, I mean, I'm his instrument. I'm compatible. He likes me. He's in favor of all that I am. So to grasp that, I think it opens the door for Christians who would otherwise, you know, they're timid around God. They don't have confidence around God. They rate themselves a 5 out of 10 around God. They wonder if God is just a little bit disgusted with them because of their recent performance. And we sort of have this, you know, murky view of how we sit before God. And when we take hold of our of the truth about this, that we're forgiven and we're righteous and we're holy and we're blameless and we're God's children and he's crazy about us, then I start to see, okay, so I can offer myself to him today and he's pleased with who I am, and I fit. I'm compatible with him and he lives in me, and I'm not an obstacle. I'm an instrument.
Yeah. Now, you raise, I think, a brilliant point. You know, we want to become ourselves, right? We want to live out our fullest potential. I want to be the best Bob Christopher God has designed me to be. Yeah. Well, if I'm not fully worshiping the Lord and my worship, my heart, and, you know, my mind is directed elsewhere, mm-hmm. then what I'm saying is, I want those things out there to shape who I am. So, you know, just as an example, peer pressure. You know, when you're going to school, when you're in elementary school, you're in junior high, you're in high school, there's that popular crowd. You would like to be a part of that popular crowd. So you start asking, what does that popular crowd do? And so you start conforming yourself to the way that crowd operates, the way they look, the way they act, the way they think, the way they talk. And you're not becoming you, you're becoming them. Hmm. You are robbing yourself of the ability to be the best you that God has created you to be. Now, that power needs to be broken, and that power is broken through the announcement of the gospel. You're no longer controlled by the opinions of others. And that frees you to be you, what God has designed you to be. And, Andrew, this is something that you talk about quite a bit. It's we don't just get absorbed into Jesus,
yeah.
where we lose our identity. The fact that we've come to worship Jesus gives us our real identity. And
yeah.
we, as we're growing in our knowledge of Christ, we're knowing more about us than we've ever known before, what we're really like, and we're given the freedom to live that out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I heard a statistic or an observation, I guess it was a study done, that, you know, the average person is basically the result of the three closest people to them. So we adapt characteristics, we take on different traits, we hear other people's opinions and beliefs, and whomever we've chosen to kind of surround ourselves with, these people have way more influence than we might have imagined. And so you think about the influence of three or four people around you, and then you realize, wait a minute, the gospel is an invitation to surround yourself with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the entire Trinity is pleased to have you. And you think about, you know, what if I were to allow them and their perspective on life, on me, on relationships, on thinking, attitudes, actions, what if I were to allow them to be the three major influences in my life? Sure, I've got other relationships, but really, from creation, I was designed to draw life from them, to look to them, to be in relationship with them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that's some really good peer pressure.
That is the best. Yeah. That is the best kind, because it's the kind that operates in freedom. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They aren't constricting us. they are setting us free to be exactly what they created us to be, and to be full reflections of their love and life in this world of darkness. You know, God created man in his own image, and that vocation, so to speak, has been restored through faith in Jesus, through the worship of Jesus Christ. We become that image bearer, and that's when we experience the richest reward and the deepest sense of fulfillment and contentment as human beings. And that's why this is such a vital deal. So worship isn't about the place you go on Sunday. It's not about what you do on Sunday. It's about worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Just allowing Christ himself, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, to energize, to animate, and to live through us in such a way that we're us. And that's good news, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah. That's the best.
Yes, indeed. Guys, want to remind our listeners that if you have a question, can't get to us during the live program, you can voice it or write it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at basicgospel.net/ask. And soon you'll hear your voice with your question or hear your question read on the air on Basic Gospel. And so if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us a question, voice or written, at basicgospel.net/ask. Shifting gears quite a bit with a quick question here as we get toward the end of the broadcast. This is from an anonymous writer. She says, "My question regards children and childbearing. I wanted to know if it's the Lord's will to use contraceptives in a Christian marriage. I emphasize Christian marriage because I've read wonderful scriptures referring to fruitfulness regarding the womb, that in marriage it is a blessing, specifically in Psalm 127. I know others have their convictions of this question, but in spite of how others may feel, what does God want or expect from us concerning conception contraceptives?"
Yeah, that's just a simple little easy question.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And I tell you, they're just...
But it is fairly straightforward. We've been talking about the answer to this question. You serve the living God. You have a relationship as a child of God with the living God. Continue the conversation.
Yes.
You're free to ask him literally anything. You know, it's not just about what Bible verse should I study today, Lord. It's me and my wife or a woman and her husband having the conversation about how should our family be and what would God have us do with that and make a decision.
And I think what you just said, husband and wife get together and talk about that issue. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, lastly, I would just say we're trying to find the right thing. Is it right to have one child? Is it right to have three? Is it right to have five? Do I need to have unlimited children? And the women out there are going, no, don't say that. Well, we're trying to find the right thing. And I think ultimately we need to remember our rightness in Christ. No matter how many children we have, our rightness remains the same.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you for those thoughts, and thanks to our listeners for posing questions. You know, as we said at the top of the broadcast, every day 22 U.S. veterans take their own lives, almost one per hour. But these men and women are so much more than statistics. They're people who have served our country many times in harm's way, only to return home after serving with needs most of us can't even imagine, and to be largely ignored or forgotten. Well, at Basic Gospel, we want to help and encourage our veterans. And friends, we hope you feel that way too. We hope you'll join with us. So in that regard, we put together a packet of hope to encourage our vets to embrace the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The packet includes Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the Drive the Stakes CD, and the CD series, The Breakout, which gives a biblical approach to anxiety and to depression. So for just $22, you can give that gift of hope to a vet you may know, someone in your family, maybe someone you work with, or someone in the broader community. Just visit basicgospel.net/vet to provide packets for the veterans you know. And listen to this, if you are a veteran, you can use that same link and click I'm a Veteran to request your free packet. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/vet. We hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity, and we want to reach out to the veterans that we know. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.